All right. Good morning. All right. So I got a question. So like anybody who has a true Aussie accent, right? In America, we love it. All right. So I need you to be honest. What do you guys think of an American accent?
Terrible.
That's fair. That's fair. I asked honesty. I wanted to know. After dealing with this kid, you got American in you?
I'm from Oregon.
You're from Oregon?
Yes.
All right. Well.
I gotta say, I love the American accent. All Australians, they pronounce my name Brock. Where Americans, they go Brock. Which is Ross.
Brock. That's a strong name, Brock. Well, it's good. We got in Wednesday morning, and it has been a doozy trying to get adjusted on the time, right? So that's been interesting. We've got my four, he'll be five, the end of, I don't even know what week we're in, the end of next week, I think, he turns five. And then we've got Luca with us, who's two and a half. And so he fell asleep on the way here this morning. They've been waking up like 2 a.m, 3 a.m, because of the time change and everything. And so this morning, Luca got up at 4. He was up early. And then right before Brother Gary was picking us up on the bus, and where's Reese? And Reese, my son Luca, here's what he wanted to do. And Malachi spent a few days with Luca, so he knows all about his wildness. But he wanted to eat yogurt, right? And so Luca, he's got a suit on right now. And so I was like, look, dude, you can't eat this by yourself. I got to feed you, right? And he lost his mind. And he's screaming, Daddy, no, get away from me. And the Airbnb we're staying in, it's its own house, but there's another house above it. And I'm like, I told Brother Gary, I said, look, if you guys get a call from the cops that we're beating our kid, I promise we're not beating them. But anyway, that's been the start. It's been crazy. But we've done a ton of stuff, man. It's been a blessing being here. I love Australia. My son Michael, the oldest one, he said we're not leaving. Right? He's told me that. My wife doesn't want to leave. So I don't know. I got to find out what God wants, right? Maybe we'll stay. Maybe we'll just stay in Australia. But, well, it's a blessing to be here. At some point this week, is everyone here that's here right now? Obviously, you're here right now if you're here, right? But are you going to be here throughout conference?
Yes. Yes.
Is anyone not? Good. Don't raise your hand because we're just going to make sure that you're here for conference. All right? But as far as... better late than never? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. I don't know what humor's like. I don't know what humor's like in Australia versus America. And I'm not just from America. I'm from the northeast part of America. It is brutal. The northeast part of America, I mean, we are just... they say we're mean. We're really not. We're just real. Right? We're just real. That's what it is. What's that?
From the Bronx.
I'm not from the Bronx, no. I'm from Philly originally, then I moved to Jersey, and I lived in Brooklyn for a while, but not the Bronx. Yeah, New Jersey. Not the TV show, all right? Everybody just automatically assumes the TV show. That's not the case, all right? Those guys actually, most of them are from New York, like Long Island, Staten Island. Most of the guys on that show don't watch the show anyway. There's nothing good about the show, all right? So let's get off of that. All right, well, this week I'm going to get more into some of my testimony. I want to save that more for conference when everybody else is in place, but just give you some background. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, all right? I didn't, and some of you here might not be growing up in a Christian home or didn't, or, you know, newly saved. I didn't get saved until I was 26. When I was about 10 or 11, I started using drugs and alcohol, and that just took my life down a very dark path. And so I lived a very wild life. I didn't grow up reading the Bible, having the Bible read to me. I got sober when I was 23 years old. And then when I was 26 years old is when I got saved. And so God radically changed my life. I was this morning just up praying, meditating. And I just had the thought of, I know where I came from. And what I mean by that is I'm thinking about how I'm coming to a church in Australia with my saved wife, my two healthy boys that are growing up in a Christian home, but I know where I came from. And I could have never imagined that I'd be sitting, well, I'm standing right now, but that I'd be in Australia not just to visit Australia, like that's people can just buy tickets and go to Australia, right? But for ministry, to be in Australia, it's mind-blowing. Like I never ever could have wrote that story, right? And it all revolves around one person. It's Jesus. He's the one that changed my life, right? And so if you're here and you don't know Jesus, maybe you know a lot about him, right? I'm a Flyers fan. Anybody know who the Flyers are? Probably not. Maybe Oregon guy might. No, you don't either? All right. They're a hockey team, all right?
From that's why.
Yeah, Philadelphia Flyers, all right? And I was talking to Brother Gary because his wife's from Michigan and Detroit. Anyway, what's the, you guys like rugby, right? Football is what you call it, right? No? You don't yet? Yeah. Footy? I watched a couple games the other night.
Who's your favorite player?
Of what?
Lindros.
Eric Lindros, he's old, man. He's back in the day, yeah. He was one of right now we've got the Trevor Zegras would be one of my favorite players that's on the team right now. Here's the point. We'll use that example, okay? I can know everything there is to know about a sports player. You can know their stats, you can know their height, you can know everything there is, you can know their wife's name, their favorite color, all of it. You can know stories about their life. Let me ask you this question. If you know all of that about them, does that mean that you know them? No, right? You can know everything there is to know about someone and still not know that someone. And so that's my challenge to you. This is the pre-message, all right? I've got a different message for us. This is the pre-message I was thinking on the way here is, look, you can know all the facts there are to know about Jesus, but if you don't know him personally, it doesn't bring that personal relationship. Right? And so throughout this week, right, this word, Selah, how do you guys say it?
Selah.
Selah?
Selah.
All right. Selah. You're outnumbered, bro. Yeah, you're outnumbered. Selah, Selah, or is it Selah? Selah? I don't know. I just made that one up. Selah. Selah. But think about that word. What does that word mean? Anybody know?
Isn't it
mean
bringing together something like that?
It means rest.
It's a rest.
At the end of a song.
Yeah, you would find it a lot of times. You find it in the Psalms. You find it as a musical notation. And we heard pause, right? It's a moment of pause, a moment of reflection, right? And so as we're entering into this, you know, that is something to just ponder, to pause and think about. Do I truly know Christ? Do I know Jesus? Am I known of him? Or do I just know about him? Right? And that's my challenge. That's what I'm going to try to focus on throughout this week is actually knowing the person of Jesus. I thought this was the He-Man's Woman Hater Club. I'm just kidding. That's a Little Rascals reference. This is men's. I thought this was men. I'm just teasing. I'm only teasing. See, American humor is different maybe. I don't know. I got to be careful. Right? I don't want to offend anybody. What's that? You like it? All right, cool. All right. I'm only teasing. Just you do whatever you got to do. All right. And I'm going to open up in a word of prayer. I'm going to pray for my wife. My wife's with the girls. All right. And so we'll pray. And somebody open us up. Who wants to pray for us? Open us up in a word of prayer. Don't all jump at once. Come on.
Yeah, I'll pray.
Right here.
Yeah.
All right, pray. My wife's Christiana. She's teaching to the girls. If you could pray for her too.
Dear Lord, thank you for today. I think we can just be here in church. Lord, I pray you just be with the preaching as it brings your word, help us to take something away from it. I pray for Christiana as well. She's speaking to the ladies, Lord, that you just work through what she has to say as well, Lord. And just bless this time, bless this week in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, who here doesn't have a Bible with them? Do we have Bibles in this room? Yo, my man carries double Bibles. He's got the sword and the dagger ready to go. He's all right. If you don't have a Bible, make sure you're next to somebody that does have a Bible, because what I say that means doodah compared to what the Bible says. All right, the Bible is the Word of God. Let's say that together. Ready? The Bible is the Word of God. It's God's Word. This isn't just some book that we have, right? There's a lot of books in the world. What's amazing about the Bible is it's the only book in the world that you need to know the author to really be able to understand it. Right? There's men that don't know God that study this that are a lot smarter than I, and they know more about the Bible than I do, but it doesn't speak in their heart the way that God does because I know Him. Does that make sense? And so the Bible is the Word of God. And so all throughout this week, hey, my focus is going to be upon the Word of God. Now, we want to make application. I want to try by the Lord's Spirit to make application to you guys to make it practical to help you apply the Word of God into your life. But look, it more important than what I say from up here or anywhere or what anybody says is what the Word of God says. If I say anything that contradicts this book, don't believe me. And whatever I say from this book, you need to see it for yourself and read it for yourself and receive it as the Word of God, right? So Acts chapter 16, and we're not going to focus this morning on the Selah side of things, all right? But I believe this is something that's important and applies to young men. Something that'll help young men. And so Acts chapter 16, we'll read verses 1 through 5, all right? It says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named," what's that name? Timotheus, that's Timothy, "the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily." And so here we're introduced to a young man named who? Timothy, we'll call him Timothy, all right? Because I'm not trying to say Timotheus each time. But Timothy, right? We're introduced to Timothy. Now, scholars would believe that he would be somewhere at this point, would be somewhere between the ages of 16 and 24, all right? Who here falls in that category of 16 to 24? I'm raising my hand. All right, so we've got a good amount of us, right? And so here's the thing. Who was under 16? All right, awesome. But I want you to notice this, that Timothy didn't get to 16 overnight, right? There was a point where he was one of your ages that aren't 16, okay? But we're introduced to a young man in the Bible. And here's what's very interesting about Timothy, okay? Timothy, we have no recorded sermons. We have no recorded salvations, meaning him leading somebody else, people getting saved under his preaching, him being one-on-one. We don't have any of that. We don't have any recorded miracles done by Timothy. Any healings, we don't have any heroic acts recorded by Timothy. But here's what's awesome about this man, Timothy, is that he's all throughout the New Testament scriptures. How many books are in the New Testament?
27.
Thank you. Malachi, you said that? Good job, dude. 27. All right, we'll give you an applause. I don't have candy. I'll throw you candy, but I've got some Eclipse. You want some of that? No. 27. Timothy's mentioned in 12 of those 27 books. Two of those books are written directly to him. So I want you to really grasp this. Here's a young man who we're introduced to somewhere, maybe around 16. He's late teens, right? And he's scattered throughout all of the New Testament, spoken of a ton. And yet, there's no miraculous thing recorded about him, right? We think of Paul, we think of all these things recorded of him. Peter, all these things recorded of him. Even Stephen, who we don't have much of, there's still this moment of martyrdom, and we have a sermon recorded of him. But Timothy is riddled all throughout, and yet we don't have much recorded in the sense of those type things. But God still saw something in Timothy that was significant to where he's so involved in the New Testament scriptures. Two are directly written to him. He's almost famous for not being famous. Here's the question, why? Why would a young man like Timothy be, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, the way scripture is given, be spoken of so often throughout the Bible? Now, we could say, well, it's because of who his protege was, or who he was underneath, right? He's the protege of Paul, right? He's the mentored by Paul. But here's the thing, where we're picking up here, guys, he is mentioned And we're going to look at some things about him. This is before he truly becomes Paul's protege. This is when Paul, now some would say maybe Paul led him to the Lord on his first journey through. We're not totally sure. But we do know this, that he's not yet paired up with Paul to go on this journey. And there's some things spoken about him before him. So here's the question, why? Why is Timothy somebody so emphasized in the New Testament? A young man. Anybody have any thought? You can't have a wrong thought, because the Bible doesn't just flat out tell us. Go ahead.
I think, obviously, it mentions he's come from good stock, but his commitment to get circumcised
I'll be careful touching on that. I mean, the Bible talks about it, but that's a little crazy. That takes some commitment for him to do that. All right? Commitment. I like that word, commitment. Anybody else got a thought of why would Timothy be somebody that's so emphasized in the New Testament scripture, yet without all these sermons, miracles, anything like that? Young man. He's a young man. Any thought? Go ahead.
It's like a reflection of us. Just normal people that are unable to, do miracles and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's good as far as application. God putting somebody in there that the everyday guy, young man, can relate to, for sure. Absolutely. Here's the word that I want to focus on today, and we're going to look at some things that I believe show this of Timothy. But here's the word: character. Character. I want us to look at this morning the character of Timothy. Now, what does it mean to have character? Somebody help me out.
Virtue.
What's that?
Virtue.
Hold on, we got two at once. You right here, sitting down first.
Virtue.
Virtue. All right, define that.
Like good morals.
Good morals. Okay, that's good.
Integrity.
Integrity. That's good.
Actions and your words line up.
That's good.
Empathy.
Empathy. Okay, I would say that would be a part of having character. Somebody would be empathetic toward other people. Sure. Standing up for truth. Yeah, it takes character to stand up for truth, right? I like this one. It's who we are where only God sees us. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Who are you where only God sees you? You say, well, what does that mean? You talking about when I'm alone in my room? Sure, it could be that. But it also could be when you're in a room full of people, presenting yourself one way, and in your heart and mind, you know you ain't that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Timothy was a young man of character. And we're going to notice here that it starts as a young man. You see, sometimes we get this idea that when I get older, that's when I have to make important decisions. But our life is shaped by decisions. We think it's made up in days. It's actually made up in decisions, right? We can ruin our life in one decision. One decision. I'll give you this example. I need to be careful in giving the details here. There was a situation in our church of a young man, and I personally didn't like his behaviors with one of my children. Nothing like crazy, but just it just off color for me, okay? And I've had some conversations and some things, and then multiple times of saying, hey, I don't want that, I don't want that, I don't want that. And then a few weeks ago, I saw it again, and I had to get my son and walk away. And when I told some of the leadership of the organization there, okay, and he's not in my church, it's a different situation. Again, I'm trying to leave out details for a reason. I was asked, well, did you say anything to him in that moment? And here's what I said, and I'm on church staff, okay? I said, if I would have said something in that moment, I probably would be in prison. I'm just being honest. Because, why am I even saying that? What was I, jet lag's gonna get me, guys. What was I talking about right before that?
Character.
Character, and then I was talking about
decisions.
Decisions. Thank you, my friend. Decisions. Bow tie master right there. Decisions, right? One decision. And here's my point with that. I can't afford that. I can't afford that. I have a calling on my life. I have a testimony that God has given me. And I have a family to lead. I can't afford to just start throwing hands. Although I wanted to. I'm going to be, you're supposed to be super spiritual. No, I'm a human being with emotion. Right? And they're my children, and I'm called to protect my children. But hey, what's the point? One decision could have ruined my entire life and my family's life. You think if I would have beat that dude up 2 weeks ago, that Pastor Hernan would want me here talking to you guys? Right? Are we okay here? What'd you say? Yes? Yeah? You said he would? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But you get the point? One decision could... Now, it wasn't anything, all right, whatever. Maybe a bad example, but you guys get the point, right? One decision can really ruin us. But Timothy was making the right decisions as a young man. That's what's important here, is that Timothy didn't wait till he was some old guy to start making the right choices. Like, I'm young, let me live my life, do what I want now, and then when I'm older, I'll get things together. You don't know that you'll get older. I might do it this week, I'm not sure, but I can write out a list of names. If I just start reading off the names, I promise you, I could probably read over 25 names, okay? Over 25 names of my closest friends that died before we turned 25 years old. Why did I make it out? I don't know. It's just the grace of God. So sometimes we think, well, you know, I'll just start making the right choices when I get older. Right now, it doesn't really matter. No, it does. It's very important right now. And Timothy, here's something I want you to notice about Timothy, right? He was a young man that had character. And here's what we need more of today in 2026, right here in Australia, in America. I think there's a group coming from Papua New Guinea, right? From all over the world, within even the world itself, but especially within young Christian men. Here's what we need. We need more Timothys. We need more Timothys. Men that have actual character. Men that, hey, when I look at you, I know that the man that I'm speaking to is the man on the inside. Not the guy that, hey, he's out trying to swoop away the other 16-year-old girl and ruin her testimony and ruin her life before she's old enough to actually understand what's happening. Not those type of coward guys. I'm not talking about that we need coward men. No. We need Christian men with character. We need Timothys. But it's not going to happen by accident. Each of you here are going to have to make a decision. I want to be like Timothy. Right? So let's look at Timothy. Are you a young man with character? I want you to notice his personal faith. Look in verse 1. Then came he, this is Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain, what's that word? Disciple was there named who? Timotheus, right? And then it says in verse 2, which was well reported of by the who? Brethren. What's brethren? Brothers, right? That's a Christian, right? Hey, Timothy, he was a saved young man. He was a man that personally knew the Lord. And true character starts with God himself. You are not going to be a young man that has character if you don't actually know God. Now remember, you can know a lot about him and still not know him. You know what the Bible says about the devil? He knows God. That's what James tells us, right? The devils believe and tremble. You read the gospel records, every time Jesus walks up on somebody that has a demon, the demons cry out something like this. What do we have to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? Are you here to torment us before the time? Hey, the devils know who Jesus Christ is. They know in their head, they don't deny the existence of God. They know he's real, they know he exists, but they don't have a relationship with him. You see that? They're not willing to come under his authority and to be in that relationship. Timothy, he had personal faith. He was a disciple, right? Before becoming Paul's protege. Sometimes, as young men, we're full of pride. You say, no, I'm not. Then you're probably full of pride. Right? How many here knows we battle with pride? We do. We battle with pride. Ladies do too, but men more. We battle with pride. And sometimes we get this idea that, well, until I have that title, until I have that position, until I have that... No. But here's Timothy, and scholars would say roughly probably about 5 years has passed, 4 to 5 years has passed since Paul's first journey through that area. So maybe if he got saved then, okay, or we see that he has a lineage here with his family, so whatever, maybe he got saved young, we don't know, okay? But we do know this, that for some time before he even becomes Paul's protege, Paul's mentee, before he starts journeying with him, he's already a man who has personal faith, who is a disciple, he's a brother, right? And then notice in verse 2, what does it say about him in the first line there? Well reported of. He was well reported of. Can that be said of you? What does it mean to be well reported of?
Spoken highly of.
Spoken highly of. That's good.
Well known.
Well known. Keep your finger here. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. That's how you know God wants us to drink coffee, right? Some of you get that later. Timothy, he had personal faith, but it was before, right? And he's well reported of. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Somebody read verse 1 and 2. Just start reading. Go ahead.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
All right, pause. What are we talking about here in that verse?
Faith.
All right, keep going.
For by it the elders obtained the good report.
All right, for by it. What's the it?
Faith.
Faith. Obtained a what? You see that? There is no obtaining a good report for a Christian without faith. You see that there, right? That, hey, he's somebody that's well reported of. Why? Because he had personal faith and he was faithful. Bless you. You guys all right over there? There's a cat over there or something? No, I'm just kidding. Malachi I can mess with because I've had a few days with him and I'm only teasing. But, hey, he had personal faith, right? He was faithful. He was well reported of. Man, if we're going to have a good report, guys, it's going to be by living by faith. It's going to be somebody that has personal faith and that is faithful. Look in 2 Timothy, if you would. Keep your finger in Acts. Look at 2 Timothy. In chapter 1. In verse 5. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Who's thee?
Timothy.
Right? The unfeigned faith that is in thee. Timothy. What does unfeigned mean?
Unwavering.
That's good.
Not faked.
Not faked. I like that. Not faked. That's exactly what it means. It means it's real. Again, what is character? What's the definition I gave for character? It's who you are where what? Only God sees you. And Paul brings up, hey, Timothy, I'm calling to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in you. It's not fake. It's not put on. No, I know you're the real deal. I've seen it in action. I've seen faith lived out in your life. It's not just by what you do. It's who you are, Timothy. You see, there's a difference in what we do and who we are. This is an interesting thing because sometimes we think what we do makes what we are, right? And but again, who are you where only God sees you? And so there's times we put on, but hey, that's not how it works. It's, hey, if you are the real deal on the inside, yes, it will show up on the outside. But you can also front on the outside and not be the real deal on the inside. Does that make sense? And so Timothy, man, he was this real guy. He was sincere. He was genuine. He was authentic. Is that you? I want you to make this personal. I can't do it for you. Like, you and the Holy Spirit of God have to search yourself right now. You have to let God search you. God, am I the real deal? Now, I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. That's not what this is about. I'm saying, hey, when it comes to character, am I a young man that's real? Or do I show up to church and I play the part and I fool the youth leaders and I fool everybody else around me, but then in the meantime, when everybody's gone and it's behind the scenes, if they saw my phone, if they saw my text messages, if they saw my Snapchat, if they saw my DMs, if they saw my music playlist, if they could read the thoughts that are going through my mind, if they could hear what I was saying to that young girl right before, if they could hear what I was telling my little crony friends about the pastor and about the guy that was speaking, if they could hear all that, they would know I'm a fake. Which one are you? Timothy was a man of character, a young man of character. And that's something that we need to decide that we want for ourselves. Are you in 2 Timothy still? Go to chapter 3. And verse 14. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and what? Has been assured of." You see, he had personal faith. He was a faithful man. But man, he was assured of who he believed in and what he was. Timothy knew his identity was in Christ. He knew what he believed and who he believed in. He believed in the Word of God, right? So let that be a question for you, again, as you're pondering this side of character. Hey, you will not have character apart from knowing God, and you won't have character apart from knowing God's Word. It is God's Word that will develop true character in us. It tells us how to live our life, right? Thy Word is a what? Lamp unto my feet. Right? And a light unto my path, right? It literally tells me how I'm supposed to feel, think, live, believe. It's amazing. I love the Bible because we get so overcomplicated in our minds. We just make things so complicated, and the Bible tells us everything we're supposed to do. It tells me how I'm supposed to think. It tells me what I'm supposed to believe. Like, I don't even have to question, well, should I believe? No, no, no. If I can settle in my heart that that book is the Word of God, that's it. I don't need to go anywhere else. Does that make sense? And so some of us in here need to do some searching this week on, hey, am I the real deal? Do I have these things settled in my heart the way Timothy did? I believe this. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want something from God. If you didn't want something different than what the world has to offer. I believe that. I believe, I'm not saying that anyone in here is trying to be fake or trying to be. But hey, I'm wanting each of us to truly search our hearts. God, am I like Timothy? Am I true? Do I have this character? Can this be said of you? Our calling, you can go back to Acts. Our calling can only be fulfilled to the degree in which our character allows. All right. Does anybody know what I mean by that? I'll say it again. Our calling can only be fulfilled to the degree in which our character allows. Who knows what I mean by that? While you're thinking, I'm going to tell you something that I promised to do this week, or not do, I should say. I am not going to dumb down the Word of God or speak like in a lower level to you guys because I don't think youth need that. I think we've done a hindrance to youth by speaking to youth in thinking that you all aren't smart enough to understand what we're saying when we speak at a normal level. Does that make sense? All right? So I want you guys to think, okay? Hey, you can only fulfill your calling to the degree in which your character allows. What does that mean? What's a calling?
What you're meant to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even it could just be, you know, I'm called to be a father. Why? Because I have two children. Right? But in order to fulfill that calling, I will only fulfill it to the degree in which my character allows. So what does that mean? All of you are in school, right? Well, some of you. Okay. Some of you are in school. You're a student. That's a calling on your life right now, to be a student. You can only fulfill that role of a student to the degree in which your character allows, okay? If you have poor character, don't think you're going to be some excellent student, okay? Again, here, I'll give you the example of the father side of it. It's not hard to become a dad. Just have children. It makes you a dad. Right? Understood? We got that? Right? But if you want to fulfill that role at a high level, it takes character. Right? We've got dads here nodding their heads because they understand that, hey, if I'm going to be a good father, if I'm going to be a godly father, it takes character. Right? If I'm going to treat my wife the way that my boys need to see a woman be treated, it's going to take character. If I have poor character, I'm going to not be fulfilling the role of a father to that type of degree. Does that make sense? So our character, guys, is so important. I want you to notice in Acts in verse 5, something that Timothy got to do It says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Here's a young man. I really need you to grasp this. A young man that Paul brings about with him. And this young man's character, he's so established in his own faith that he's then able to be used by God to establish other people's faith and to be used in the local church. Look, the local, you all are the local church. Like, sure, there's people that are older that are quote-unquote running things right now, but they will be moving off the scene at some point. And if the Lord tarries, guys, you are the future of this church. What's it going to look like? What's the character level like right now? Are you somebody that's established in your own faith, in your character, that you could then do that for somebody else? Because here's Timothy as a young man, and God's using him to do exactly that. What is our character like? All right, quickly, go to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4, and we'll be done in a few minutes here. But again, I just want you to think about this character aspect with Timothy. So what's some things we've learned about Timothy already?
He's got a good character.
He's got good character.
He's a genuine faith.
Genuine faith. Absolutely. He's a faithful man. Young man. Anything else? That's pretty much what we've talked about. I want you to notice something else about Timothy. Look in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. Paul says this, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Now, Paul is not saying, I want you to follow me in the sense of like, I want a bunch of minions following me. No. Paul mentions in other places of Scripture, follow me as I follow Christ. Right? Paul, as the spokesman, who God revealed the mysteries of the New Testament to him, right? The mysteries of God. Hey, he's like, hey, I'm living the Christian life. I'm following Christ. I want everybody to come with me. That's what he's saying, okay? And so he's speaking to this church at Corinth here. He says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Now notice this, "for this cause." For what cause? What does it mean? What's Paul saying there? "For this cause have I sent unto you" who?
Timotheus.
Okay, here's what Paul's saying. I want you to be a follower of me. And Paul couldn't get to them in that moment. So here's what he did. "For this cause, that you would be a follower of me, here's what I'm sending. I can't come, but here's who can." And who is it? Timothy. Right? Paul's like, hey, I want you to follow me. I want you to be faithful in following the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can't get to you right now, so here's who I'm sending in my place. Timothy. Think about that. Paul knew who they would get. And it's not that Timothy was this little cookie cutter replica of Paul. It's not that Timothy wasn't his own man. No. It's that Timothy had character. Paul knew, if I send Timothy, I know who that local church is going to get. I'm not questioning that he's one way with me and one way with them. I'm not questioning that he's not the real deal. He's a dependable disciple. And that's the thing. So he had personal faith. He had genuine faith. He's a faithful man, but he's a dependable disciple. Here's a question for you. Could Pastor Hernan send you right now to another church as an extension of Good Shepherd Baptist Church and be dependent upon? Could he depend upon you and send you in his place and say, hey, guys, I can't make it. I can't get there this week. We've got a big meeting at our church this week. But hey, I'm going to send fill in the blank. Put your name there. What are they getting? Do you guys see that? Right? We'll keep reading the verse. He says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord." There it is again. "Who shall bring you into remembrance of" what? "My ways which be" where? "In Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." You see, again, Paul did not create some little replica of himself, and it's not a bunch of Paulines running around, right? No. Timothy is still himself. Timothy is still his own man. He's a young man. He's just a man that's dependable. He's a dependable disciple that Paul knew that he could send. Paul could depend upon Timothy. The question is, can you? Can you be depended upon? Think about that. Genuinely, just ask yourself that question. Some of you already know in your heart right now, no, because I'm not real. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect. I have thoughts that I have to cast down every day. There is no arrival point in the Christian life. Apostle Paul tells us that, right? I'm not talking about reaching a level of perfection. I'm talking about character. Are you somebody that has real, genuine faith, that's faithful, and that can be depended upon? Are you a dependable disciple? These are things about Timothy that I was noticing just as I've studied the life of Timothy, that, man, what developed this man's character? What about him had such character? And this is one of them, that he was dependable. Paul, we know just in the New Testament scriptures, as far as what's recorded, there's at least 5 churches that he did this with. So you have the church of Corinth here that we saw, but Thessalonica, Berea, Philippi, and Ephesus, which he eventually pastored. And here's what we got to understand, guys, is when did Timothy start developing this character? When he got older and graduated and did what he wanted to do, and then he decided, no, as a young man. As at the age that you guys are right now, Timothy was making decisions that were shaping him. Hey, with those years before Paul showed up there in Acts 16, he had no idea that he was going to go and journey with Paul. He had no idea. I mean, we've got Levi and TJ here, and they have the privilege of traveling with Brother Kurt Skelly, and I'm not worshiping Brother Kurt Skelly, putting him on a pedestal, but I don't know that maybe 5 years ago they would have thought that they'd be traveling with Kurt as interns in Australia, right? No. But I can tell you that 5 years ago they were probably making decisions, maybe not all great, right? And I've not made all great decisions, but we're making decisions, right, that then brought us to that next decision and brought us to that opportunity. You see what I'm saying? But it's being faithful in the moment. It's being real in the moment. It's being dependable in the moment. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's 9:48. We'll finish at 9:54. You all right with that? 9:48, 9:54. All right, don't watch the clock, I am. 1 Timothy 6, look in verse 11. But thou, and what's the next part say? O man of God. But thou, O man of God. Who's he speaking to? Timothy, right? He's speaking to Timotheus. Timothy. Paul calls Timothy a man of God. Here's what's very interesting about this. That title, man of God, all throughout the Old Testament, 70-something times in the Old Testament, you find that title given, man of God. In the New Testament, you know how many times it's written? Anybody know? Twice. And one time, it's a generic, general that the man of God may be made perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's mentioned to Timothy, but it's a general statement of that the man of God. And then the only other time the title man of God is given, guess who it's given to in the New Testament? Timotheus. You like the Timotheus? That's fine. You can keep saying Timotheus. Timotheus. Think about that. A man. Now, I'm not saying that the other men weren't men of God. You get my point? But by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, God chose by his inspiration that the only man that was going to receive that title in Scripture of the New Testament was this young man, Timothy. Oh, man of God. Hey, character? You want character? Be a man of God. Be a man of God. What does it mean to be a man of God?
Man of faith.
Man of faith. It's good. Man of character. But if you're the man of, what does that mean?
To follow that,
that's good. Hey, how about this? I'm the man of Christiana. That's my wife's name. I'm her man. You know what that means? As a man, I'm hers. I belong to her. You see that, right? And so a man of God, if you're a man of God, guess who you belong to? God, right? It's not profound. We can figure this out here. A man of God belongs to God. Who do you belong to? No, I want you to think about that, though, and examine your life. Who do you truly belong to? You see, if I was out cheating on my wife, I can't say I'm a man of Christiana. Fair? Right? Are you a man of God or are you a man of this world? Are you a man of God or are you a man of your flesh? Meaning you just do whatever your flesh wants you to do. And that's what he says here in context. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Does that describe your life as a young man? You say, man, I'm 16 years old. I'm 14 years old. I'm 12 years old. This sounds like preaching for older folks. Hey, how do you think Timothy got to where he was when he got older? As a young man, he made a decision. I'm going to be a man of God, a man of character. I'm going to be a dependable disciple. I want to live for him. And that's what we need, guys. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ needs, is Timothys. Men who have actual character. I have watched young men ruin their lives week after week. I have watched young men ruin young ladies' lives week after week. Who are you? And here's the question, who are you where only God sees you? It's 52. I told you 54. We'll do one more. Go to Philippians. Go to Philippians. What have we learned about Timothy? Now, all these things that I'm talking about, we could spend a whole sermon on each individual one. What it means to be a man of God. What it means to be a dependable disciple. What it means to have unfeigned faith. Right? I'm kind of giving you an overview here of Timothy. And man, I don't know about anybody in here, okay? I'll speak for myself. I know what the world has to offer. I know what it's done. It's taken so many of my friends. It brought me to places of suicide. It brought me into jail. It brought me into rehab. It got me kicked out of the military. It had my life blow up. I know what the world has to offer. And here's what the world does, man. It gives you on the front and then it just takes, takes, takes. It's amazing. God saves the best for last. And it's the opposite with the world. You get the best up front and then it just drives you awful places. So I don't know about any of you in here, but I know for me, man, I don't want what the world has to offer. I want a life that is going to be marked by living of faith. I want a life that is going to be marked by a life of character. I want a life where people can depend upon me. I want young people to be able to look and see, look, if he could do it, I can do it. If Timothy could do it, you guys could do it. But it's going to start with an intentional decision. Philippians chapter 2. Look in verse 17, 18, no, 19. All right. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send who? Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Paul's in prison. He can't get there, but Timothy can. Man, that dependable disciple can. For I have no man, listen to this testimony of Timothy. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. This past week, my wife and I have been so blessed by the Hulana family, it's embarrassing. I'm not even kidding. And I know Malachi's sitting here. I'm not trying to embarrass him, right? But the way that even Malachi hung out with my four-year-old and two-and-a-half-year-old and helped take care of them in the zoo and different things. And the way, man, it has just been, and yesterday, Pastor Hernan, I'm like, dude, don't you gotta, like there's a conference coming up and he's just driving us around and we don't have a car and he's taking us to Bluey World and sitting outside while we take my kids in the Bluey World and he's just sitting there working out on at a table for 2 hours while we're in there. And then he drives us to the store and then he goes to the church and comes back and pick us up and go, hey, what is that, man? That's somebody that it's just like, I've got stuff to do. I've got things that I would like to do, but it's not about me. And that was the description of Timothy here, that he was a man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Timothy wasn't about himself. We live in a culture, guys, that makes it all about you. Man, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's my life. Let me live my life. Let me do what I want. No, no, no. Hey, if you're going to be a man of character, you're going to live for other people. If you want to be a true man, men don't live for themselves. Men live for everybody else around them. Men make it, real men. I'm not talking about little childish boys. I'm talking about real men. Real men step up to the plate and they say, hey, I'm going to do this to make their life easier. That's what true men do. I'm from America, and guess what? In America, the reason that we have freedoms the way that we do, we're losing them quickly. But the reason that we do is because there were some young men that when they stood up and they enlisted, that they said, forget my life, I'm going to go and serve for the life of other people. Not that they agreed with everything that happened, all the wars going on. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that there were young men who stood up and said, it's not about my life, it's about theirs. You see that? I told you I'd do 54, it's 56, so I don't want to be a liar. He was a dependable disciple, man of God. He was a man of God. He was a selfless servant. You see that there? For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, but you know the proof of him. The proof of him. What's the proof of you? If I were to talk to your youth leaders, if I were to talk to your pastors, if I were to go on your phone, what would be the proof of you? Right? So again, I know it's a good amount of thoughts. We're doing an overview. But are you a man of God? Are you a man of character? Do you know him? That's where it starts. If you don't truly know God, I'm not talking about knowing about him. If you don't truly know him, you need to settle that. That's most important. And then from there, God will develop that character in us if we are walking with him. All right, let's pray and you can come close us out. I don't know how you guys close out or anything. All right. Lord, we do love you and we thank you for this time together. And God, thank you that you gave us Timothy in the scriptures. And there's so much more about him that we could look at. And even just how he was more of a timid and quiet and fearful personality. But God, you still used him. And so I understand that there's different personalities represented in this room. But God, you can use each and every one because you created us. And you have a purpose for each of us. And I just pray that you would help the young men in this room and the older men, including me, that we would decide right now that we want to be men of character, that we want to be men that have character that can be used of you. And God, I pray if there's any young man in this room or old man in this room, older, that doesn't truly know you, maybe they know about you, but they don't have that personal relationship with you, I pray they wouldn't leave here without getting that settled. I pray they'd go to somebody to speak about that. Please bless the rest of the time. Bless Brother Kurt as he preaches. God, fill him with your spirit. Help us to listen in the spirit and to respond to whatever it is you do in our heart today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.